Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. It's because of Jesus that we're here, because what he did for us, it's a lot that Christ has done for us that we don't remember sometimes. We take it for granted. And just am thankful for what he's done in our lives, all of our lives. I think he's blessed us richly. Want to also welcome visitors this morning. Happy to have all of you here with us and invite you to worship with us. This morning I want to speak about the importance of prayer and maybe a verse in Ephesians 6:18. I'm going to quote this verse several times. This verse stands out to me a lot. It says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I am challenged in my own life how something so extremely important can be such a small part of my life. You know, prayer is very, very important. And yet, if I evaluate how much time, how much value I put on prayer, I am very much convicted, challenged that it's not. I don't give it enough priority time, enough time. And another thing that happens too is prayer to Christian people, to people that believe and live Christian lives. Prayer is such a common thing that we do. We do it secondhandly. We pray before we eat. We pray easily, and that's a good thing. But sometimes we can get into this thing where we think that we lose our focus of how important it is and how powerful it is. And I'd just like to say that I hope that we can be reminded that prayer is powerful, and that we should believe how powerful it is and not give it to, don't make it, think of prayer as just a common automatic thing in our life. Give it priority. How can Christians ever expect to be successful in living for Jesus if prayer is not given a very high priority, extremely high priority? And I would like to challenge each of us this morning to take an honest look at our own prayer life that we have with Jesus. Maybe we should ask ourselves, if God has heard enough from us, do you think God has heard enough praise and thanksgiving from each of us? Because he deserves much praise and thanks. I think God really likes to hear I think he really likes when we get to be alone with him and we try to learn to know him better. We try to communicate with him and find out what he wants from our life and try to understand him better. Prayer is not only important for our personal lives, it's also important for all the saints. It says in this verse, supplication for all the saints. And it's also important for the sake of the world. Imagine if there was no one in the entire world who did not, that believed in God. In other words, there was no faith in all of the world, and there would be no more prayers offered up to God. God would not hear any more prayers from the world. I personally don't think that God would need the world anymore. Even though God wants all men to be saved, if no man is going to be saved, then I wonder if God would keep the world. How long would he tarry if there is no more prayers, no more faith that believe in talking to him? And I think the prayers of the saints have a much bigger effect on the world than what we realize. And in everything, there is power in prayer. Prayer changes many, many things. And I want to encourage us not to give it so much common thing, but to give it value. and put it high on our list. For a reading, I want to ask you to turn to Revelation chapter 8. I'm going to read the first six verses. And this, I was studying prayer and all the verses in the Bible about prayer. And there's a number of scriptures that stood out to me that where there were stories about how God worked in people's prayers and how God dealt with people that prayed and how he answered prayer. And I was thinking of our Sunday school lesson, Hagar. God heard Hagar's son. He heard that prayer. And he heard Jonah. He heard it mentions a sinner's prayer. But this chapter, this thing here, really stood out to me because it gives you a picture of our prayers going up to God. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 through 6. I'm going to read that. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much, much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And I'm going to stop there. There's a lot more there that is it very interesting, but this portion is the one that really stood out to me. This picture that is painted here that John saw in his vision, it's extra special, describes the prayers of saints going up before God. In the Old Testament, it is believed that the burning of incense was like prayer, and that that smoke of this was going up to God. And so I don't think it's changed between now and then, except that we don't burn incense. Our prayers still go up to God. And I just had to wonder if when we're praying, I guess I didn't wonder. I like to think of it that our prayers are like burning incense going up to God. And the smoke of that burning incense, that sweet smell. And I think it's a very nice smell to God when this burning incense of our prayers is going up to him. I think that is still the way it is today. God hears the prayers of saints. I believe the verification of this thought is later on in this text where it talks about that. It says that the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it onto the earth. You know, you can maybe have another thinking on this, but it looks to me like God heard that prayer and that he was answering that prayer and sending back down to the earth thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. So we believe that God answers prayer, but this presents the thought more direct. It gives it more affirmation. And in this scripture, we see a picture of a righteous man earnestly praying for needs and for things to be changed. And he's praying and telling God the burden of his heart. And then there's smoke showing the prayers that are ascending to the Father. When we give thanks, this nice smelling smoke going up to God. When we give praise, this nice smelling smoke going up to God. When we come confessing our sins, and I think that the angels can tell how much the saints are praying because of how much smoke is coming up to God. And I wonder how much smoke is going up now. I wonder if saints in the world are praying like we should. By the way the world has been going, I don't think that there's enough smoke going up. Another thought that we get from this text is that the saints have a responsibility to pray. Responsibility for earnest prayer, not just a casual common prayer, an earnest prayer. In James it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then this verse that I read at the very beginning, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. The troubles and trials that we face and the persecutions that other Christians face, the way that evil people are trying to get the Christian people to accept their way of life, is very alarming. It is easy to think that these people made their own bed of corruption so they can just go ahead and sleep in it. But I think we need to remember that the prayer of the saints can change many things. And we become discouraged because we see things going so bad, and we see things that are not changing. We see people that we love and care about doing wrong things, and we don't know how to pray for them, and we wonder, should we pray for them anymore? But I don't think we should look at it that way. I think we should remember there is much power in prayer, and many things can be changed by our prayer. We need to pray earnestly. Even though God is in control of all things, he doesn't reach out and manipulate people because they're doing wrong. And, you know, we sometimes think that God should do that. He created us creatures of choice. And because of that, I think that the prayer of saints is what gives God permission to work mightily. When the smoke of our prayers reach up to God, it's a very nice smell of God, and he wants to answer those prayers. We need to pray often, consistently. There is a great need of prayer in our personal lives, in our families, in our churches, and in the world. A very, very great need. And I would like to look at some common error that people have about prayer. These are not anything new, I doubt, to any of you. Just a reminder. But there is a thought that each of us have from time to time. God knows my need. He already knows my need. So I don't really need to pray about my struggles. He already knows it. We sang a song about it. But I still think God wants to hear our needs. He wants to hear our thanksgiving and praise. When we speak to God and tell him our struggles, and we thank him for his goodness, we tell him how we appreciate all that he's done for us, I believe God is listening to this, and he wants to hear it. He wants to hear whatever we have to share with him. God enjoys our sincere prayers much more than we enjoy telling him about our lives. We don't want to tell God about our lives because we have to humble ourselves. But it's part of worship to humble ourselves and to bow our knees and ask God to intervene on our behalf. Another common error is thinking we can talk to God the same way that we speak to each other. And, you know, I don't think that we should do that. God should not be brought down to our level. God has given Jesus, his son, to reach down to our level to provide that bridge for us to meet God and to provide a way for us to be righteous before God. But God is never on our level, and we should pray to God like he is God. And I believe there is a balance in the way we pray. When we pray, if we have pride in our hearts, the scale is tipped completely the wrong way, and God doesn't hear the prayer. A prideful heart will try to bring God down to our level, because a pride heart doesn't want to humble himself under the mighty hand of God. A prideful heart will also try to make praying a huge play of special words and phrases. But I don't think God hears those prayers. and we don't want to be involved with the root problem is a pride heart, but we need to get rid of that pride heart so we don't get into these kind of prayers where we try to bring a casual, like I'm talking to anybody on the street. God is God, and we need to remember that and not try to think that we've got all these nice phrases and good words that God will hear. If there's pride in our heart, he doesn't hear any of it. He doesn't hear one thing of it. We should not make our prayers casual. Neither should we make our prayers complicated or think that it's too much for us to attain to pray even. We should just come to God honestly and praise him and thank him. God cares about us being truthful and honest when we worship him and pray. He doesn't care so much about, I think that God cares about form too. Maybe some of you might have a little discussion on this, but I think that God, when we are willing to kneel in prayer, I think God sees that. When we're willing to maybe lay prostrate. I know that I read a book recently where these people came to the Lord and this man's wife believed that she should lay prostrate, and she just felt that she couldn't pray any other way. She felt that God actually heard her prayers better. I don't know. I mean, I bless her for that. I'm not saying that we should go to all these things, but I think that God does see those. I think he recognizes those things because they are an expression of our heart, not because we're trying to make it look good. It only because of it's really speaking about our heart. God does not hear the prayer of sinners or of the sinner. Prayers that are coming from sinners or from someone who's full of pride and bitterness, they're dead prayers. They're like, you know, I can imagine why those people get tired of praying, because it just, there's nothing there. In Psalms 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Proverbs 28:9, excuse me. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. But God does hear prayers of sinners who humble themselves and repent. Or God hears the sinner's prayer when he is humble and he's seeking God. Humbling ourselves so we can be honest with God about our whole life. In Psalms, there's a number of verses I'm going to read here. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite heart. Psalms 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, for all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So I just want to make sure that invitation is open. If there is anybody who is sinning and living in sin, when you're living in sin, when you have bitterness and pride in your heart, God will not answer your prayer. He will not even hear it. But if you confess and humble yourself and come with that contrite, even while you're still considered a sinner, God will hear that prayer. And I just want to remind us of that. I know that we know that, but it's sometimes easy for us to forget that. I'd like to look at a little bit of our attitude about prayer. When you think of praying, do you have a negative attitude about praying, or do you have a positive attitude? Do you have this little feeling that goes on, oh shucks, I gotta pray now? Or do you feel like, I wanna go spend time in prayer? Prayer is hard work and is considered to be like chores sometimes, a lot of times, among many Christians. You know, I have to admit that when you consistently pray and you put it on your checklist or you put it on a way that you really want to pray consistently, that you can make it a chore. It can become a chore. And I'm not saying that you should not do that, but I'm saying it's better that if you come to God enjoying that, wanting to come to God. Prayer is a privilege that God has given us so we can know Him better. How would it be if we couldn't pray? Think of that for a while. If there was no way to communicate with God, no possible way to communicate with God, you would be hopeless. There would be no way we could make it. We could never, all this living our Christian lives would be hopeless. Learning to know Jesus would be hopeless. But think of it. If praying becomes a chore in your life, how much will it benefit our walk with God? I think it will restrict your walk with God. I'm not saying you should quit praying because it's a chore. I'm saying you should try, ask God to change your attitude. Even if it is a chore, it's still better to pray. God loves to hear us pray. He loves to hear our words, and He loves to hear our thoughts. In Psalm 66, verse 19 says, "But verily God hath heard me, He hath attended to the voice of my prayer." He's listening for your prayer. He wants to hear your prayer. "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my heart prayer, nor His mercy from me." God wants to hear us pray. We need to believe and trust that God wants to answer our prayer and that He wants to hear our prayer. We need to believe that. If I claim to have a heart that is right with God, then I should believe that God hears my prayer and pray that way, pray believing that way. If we're honest with ourselves, how many times are our prayers contingent on the feeling or the results we've seen from our prayers? It's much easier to apply ourselves to prayer during difficult times because prayer is, we don't know where else to turn when we're going through the difficult times. So prayer becomes much easier for us. But when life is going along at a normal pace, there doesn't seem to be anything that's restricting our lives or causing us troubles. Everything seems to be very nice and happy. It's not very easy to pray those times. We lose our focus and we start thinking that everything's okay. And prayer automatically becomes less important. It's because in our humanity we depend on our feelings and our emotions too much. We need to train ourselves to pray often, believing that our lives depend on the results of prayer, regardless of how we feel. So there are some other things that I just like to encourage us to do, more on the practical side now. I would like to encourage us as husbands and wives to pray together. I believe it's good for our marriage and families. I find it hard to pray together with my wife. But I believe it's very important for husbands and wives to pray together and spend time praying together. I believe your marriage will be blessed. You will start seeing things closer to the way God wants you to see them. It's a good thing for married people to pray together. You should take time to pray personally. I'm encouraging you to take more time to personally pray. And I encourage you, families, get together and pray. All of your family, get together and pray. I know when you have a lot of teenagers in the house, everybody's running. In our day and age, we're all running a lot of different ways. And it's very hard to get the family together just to spend even 5 minutes in prayer. But I think it's really good if we do that. It's a way to bind your family together and bring you all closer. And it helps you to love each other more. And it's a I think God loves to see when families are praying together. And I think that church members should get together and pray together often. I really appreciate the times when some of you men get together and pray together. And it's really a building up time, and it's good for the church, it's good for the world, it's good for all the saints. I hope that we never get weary of praying together. And I don't think it's just for men. I know that your youth have got together to pray, and I think that's great. I like that. I think God loves to see us get together in prayer, and the cell groups getting together and praying. And I know some of you women in your Sunday school class or your gatherings, that those are all very good. I want to encourage us to do it more and build you up in those areas. I believe it's very, very vital. Just want us to encourage us to pray more in groups, personally, to God, and not grow weary in well doing. And then also, I think that it's good for us to have a prayer list. To each of us individually have a prayer list, and a prayer list of have a list of people who have spiritual needs, people that have physical needs. I pray for churches who are struggling. There's many churches who are losing out and are struggling. Pray for those churches, those groups of people. Pray for the people on your prayer list. Have people that are in authority over you personally. Pray for those people. Put those on your prayer list, especially. And pray for put the people on prayer list that we all have people that treat us bad, that we have a hard time getting along with. Bible says, Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully use you. And we should put those people on our prayer list. Pray for them, people. The persecuted church, the persecuted Christians, they pray for their enemies. They pray for those people that are hurting them terribly. But in our culture, where we live right now, we don't have people persecuting us like that. But we have people that treat us a little bit bad. They make us feel bad. Sometimes they do mean things to us. And I don't care if you're a little child. That we need to put them people on your prayer list, because that will help you to love them. It'll be good for them. It'll help them too. So make a prayer list and keep it maintained. Consistently use your prayer list. Bring it to God in earnest prayer. And we all need it. We need it. It is vital in all of our life. So I hope I can encourage you this morning by leaving that with you, the importance of prayer. And in this verse, Ephesians 6:18, I'd like to quote that yet, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. I believe I'll close with that. But I thought maybe we could sing yet.